Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following, of course, the YouTube page, 94WIP. Check it out there. Subscribe to our page. Ton of great content from the shows of WIP and, of course, all the podcasts with the live video there. All right, so a lot to get to. Big night tonight in Philadelphia with the Sixers and the Heat. The seven seed on the line. Ranger Suarez was incredible last night for the Phillies. His pitching staff is outstanding. And obviously, a tough ending to the Flyer season. We're just a little over a week away now from the NFL draft. Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni held their press conference yesterday. It's one of those pressers where they're not going to say much. I thought some of the most entertaining things was actually Howie's reaction to some of the Hassan Reddick questions. You could tell he was a little testy there. He didn't like the tone of the question. He didn't like the idea of having to answer these questions. And you could tell there's something more to this Reddick story than the Eagles are letting on. And Howie was annoyed about it. But one thing Howie did say yesterday that I totally agree with, and that he usually does an outstanding job at, is filling needs through free agency so the Eagles don't have to draft for need in the NFL draft. Now, last week we went over their needs. Like, if you were to kind of just write down the Eagles' needs right now, how would you rank them? But most of the needs the Eagles have are big picture, long-term needs. You know, they could field a team right now and go play. And I'm not saying they'd win the Super Bowl, but they can go play and feel like they've got a shot right now with what they have. And that is a great, great, great place to be. Because there are teams out there that don't operate that way. And they are in trouble because they need something in the NFL draft just to go field a competitive roster for next season. So, you know, of all the things we've talked about, we want the Eagles to draft. Here's one I don't want them to draft, or an area or a place or a way of drafting that they shouldn't draft. The Eagles should absolutely not draft for need next week. Absolutely not. That's how you get yourself in trouble. And that's why I like, you know, the concept of what Howie has done, the concept of bringing in a Matt Hennessy on the offensive line, the concept of bringing in a Devin White at linebacker, the concept of throwing as much at the dartboard, as many darts as he's thrown at corner over the last couple of years, so they're not beholden to having to take a corner or having to take an offensive lineman or having to take an edge rusher, any of those things, because they've thrown a lot at the dartboard. They've signed a lot of players. They've added a lot. They even added backup at running back. There was on the 49ers roster, you know, last season that they added right when the season ended. You look through the Eagles roster, and there is some depth there. I'm not saying this is a polished, completely furnished roster that there's no questions on. No, there's plenty of questions. The depth on the offensive line, especially at tackle, is not where you want it to be. They could use another defensive tackle. You know, they could use another edge. They could certainly use another corner, potentially another safety. They could use another a wide receiver. But even the additions of Paris Campbell and Devontae Parker give them something where they can go play a football game. They have enough C.J. Uzuma at the tight end position. We didn't talk much about on the pod. By the way, it was an interesting signing a couple of days ago by the Eagles to give themselves a second tight end, a pass-catching tight end, and someone that is certainly capable in a short burst to fill in and start for Dallas Goedert if he goes down like he typically does once a year. You know, it's not like we're sitting there in the second round. I happen to like Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas, and I think he'd be a really interesting pick for the Eagles at 50 or 53. But let's say the board breaks a certain way. And, you know, before the Uzoma signing, you know, I could have made a point, man, they're really, really, really thin at tight end, both for the now and for the future. Really thin. And I would have probably said on draft night, you know, a couple Fridays from now, boy, they gotta get a tight end here. I mean, they, you know, for now in the future, they got to get a tight end. And now they don't have to. They could. You know, the fun part about the signings that the Eagles have made, you know, at the, let's just say, slot receiver with Devontae Parker and Paris Campbell, is neither of those guys are precluding them from drafting a wide receiver relatively high. Let's just say Roman Wilson from Michigan is sitting there in the second round. They really like Roman Wilson. Heck, they can take Roman Wilson. It you know, financially, it's not going to be a big thing. It's not going to be it's not a first round pick. So you're not wondering about how it fits into the puzzle with Devontae Smith and AJ Brown after both those guys got paid. Now, no, it's just third receiver. I mean, it really replaces Quez Watkins as a third receiver if he's good and able to win the job right away from a Paris Campbell or a Devontae Parker. I mean, that's it. It's simple. Let's go to linebacker. You know, right now it's Devin White and N'Kobe Dean. I don't think either of those guys are locks to be on this team next year. So there's nothing long-term going on with this situation at linebacker. Heck, they're both could be replaced within this season. So if you're the Eagles and Peyton Wilson's on the board, you know, with the 50th pick, or Adrian Cooper, or we go to the third round, fourth round area, and you're sitting there and you see Jeremiah Trotter Jr., I mean, it doesn't preclude you. You don't feel like I'm stacked at this position. It's kind of that interesting line between having a ton at the position and not having any at all. If you have a ton, it's like, well, we're really going to use another resource here when I have other places I could use the resource. Okay, you're probably not. And if you have none at the position, well, you're screwed. Like, you have to take something there, and that could preclude you from taking the best prospect, following your board. So, you know, I think Howie's done a really good job at this, of using free agency to uplift the floor of the roster and give himself total flexibility on draft weekend. And that's part of why I'm excited for this particular Eagles draft, is they have total flexibility. Even I'll go to the backup quarterback position. You know, before the trade for Kenny Pickett, I could have made a case, you know, they really could use another option at quarterback behind Jalen Hurts, because Tanner McKee isn't it. At least we don't think he is yet. Now, he showed some flashes last summer, but he, you know, he probably won't be a high-end backup quarterback. That's just the probability of his draft pick status and his athletic profile. He probably won't be a major backup quarterback in the NFL that takes down starts and wins games. So this offseason, if not for the trade for Kenny Pickett, which, by the way, comes with 2 years of control, and I didn't even realize till yesterday, like it hit me, that it also comes with the fifth-year option. If somehow, some way that was needed, or, you know, the landscape changed around here, the Eagles control Kenny Pickett for 3 more years. So they don't need to worry about the long-term viability of drafting at that position, because they have that guy in Kenny Pickett. You know, when they drafted Hurts, I thought what their answer was a little fugazi, but their answer was their answer in that, yeah, he provides depth, but it's also a cheap, cost-controlled, you know, kind of future outlook at the backup position. You know, I'm sure the Eagles have their depth chart for 2024 just like we do. I mean, you can go to ESPN.com, you could write it down yourself. I mean, you whatever you want to do, and you can see their depth chart. PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm sure at a whiteboard somewhere or a spreadsheet somewhere in Howie Roseman's office or his cloud or whatever, he has the depth chart for 2025 mapped out. And then, you know, that one obviously will changes a lot between now and 2025. Players get hurt, they get cut, they get traded, new players come in, the draft picks they eventually get next week, you know, who becomes a starter, becomes really good. All, you know, it's so fluid. But he probably has his depth chart for 2025 already assembled. And a lot of it is on the offensive side. You know, you expect Jalen Hurts to be the quarterback, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane, you know, Dickerson, Mailata, Saquon, you know, all kind of put in pen for 2025, not just 2024. On defense, probably Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, you know, and after that, Nolan Smith, Bryce Huff, obviously, I knew they just signed. After that, it's a little bit more up in the air. Reed Blankenship, you know, there's not, so that you kind of look forward and say, okay, what do we need? What do we have? As we get closer to this draft, there's going to be a lot of conversation of what the Eagles need. And I understand they could use another offensive lineman. They could use a really good young offensive lineman in the pipeline that could play inside or outside. That would be a phenomenal type of outcome for the Eagles to add something that they could use. They could use another defensive line slash edge. Absolutely. They could use a high-end linebacker. But because of what they did with CJGJ and bring it back Maddox and the, we think, ascension of Isaiah Rodgers to the active roster at some point here, and Devin White, and Bryce Huff, and Burks, and what they did on, you know, some of these smaller tiered linebacker names, and Matt Hennessy on the offensive line, and CJ Uzuma, and of course Paris Campbell and Devontae Parker, they've really added a lot of higher floor NFL players to the roster. So the one thing Howie and I he said it yesterday, and I, you know, it's one of the few tells I think is he's telling the truth. You know, because he's not going to give away his draft strategy in these press conferences. But I do believe him that they do this on purpose so they don't have to go into a draft saying, we need this. Because if you do that, you may be passing up the better player for a more convenient player, for a player that fits now. And I don't think that's the way to do it. And the other part of need versus want, or need versus, you know, could use, is the idea of what are you drafting for? And some people believe they have to draft for now. They have to draft for today. They have to draft for 2024. I don't think that's what the draft should be for. You know, Shil Kapadia of The Ringer had a great stat a couple days ago that in the last few years, only 37%, you know, give or take, of rookies have actually played at least 300 snaps, you know, in their rookie year. It doesn't happen very often. You know, rookies don't get on the field primarily and contribute. So let's just, you know, let's use that 37% number. You know, it's pretty close to 33%. And we know the Eagles have three picks in the top 53. It's the first time in a long time they've had this many picks this high in a draft, three in the first 53. So let's just say roughly one out of those three players, based on Shields, you know, percentage in recent years, one of those three players will get on the field and play a lot, just one. And, you know, you might assume, and we could assume it's the first round pick. It doesn't have to be. Could be a different one. You know, they could take an offensive lineman that ends up more of a swing guy or backup in his first year in the first round, end up with a linebacker or a receiver in the second round, and one of those guys ends up playing a lot. I mean, that's certainly possible. But the recent trends tell you one of the top three picks they make this year will actually see the field for a good number of snaps in his rookie year. Just one. Two of three will not. So if I'm Howie and I'm entering the draft, I'm looking big picture this. I'm looking long term. I'm looking to get a prospect that can help the franchise for the next 4 to 5 years, not just September 6th or whatever the date's going to be in Brazil against the Packers. No. And I think when you draft for need and you draft for right now, you put yourself in a position where you may be overlooking a guy that has huge upside for a guy that's more polished in the moment. And I don't think that's how championship teams draft. I don't think that's how championship rosters are built. You got to, you know, certain positions, obviously like a running back, where the shelf life of the player is less. Yeah, you have to think about that. I think sometimes with teams, they're just so interested in the now and not enough in the future. Like, for example, this quarterback class, Caleb Williams is going to go number one. Obviously, has a tremendous skill set, and if he's wired the right way, I think Caleb Williams will be a tremendous quarterback. But then you look at the next three, and I keep seeing how far along, how far advanced Jaden Daniels is, age-wise, starts-wise, experience-wise, over Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, who both need different kind of levels of coaching to reach their ceiling. They're younger. Well, what are you in this for if you're the Vikings or you're the Giants or you're the, you know, the Patriots or you're the Commanders? Are you in to just make a big jump next year and not really sustain because the guy you take, it is what he is. He's kind of, he'll hit that ceiling early, like maybe a Jaden Daniels. Or are you in it to develop and get to the future? I think Drake May could be a really good quarterback down the line, but he's probably going to take some time. You know, he's going to be raw. He needs to be, you know, molded the way Josh Allen was. And I think McCarthy could be right in the right system if you allow him to flourish in that system and build it all the right way around him, like, let's say, Minnesota for a J.J. McCarthy. That all makes sense to me. But I'm looking at Washington saying, well, 10 years from now, who's better, Drake May or Jaden Daniels? It could be May, but they could go for Daniels because he's better now for today. Who's going to be more productive for 15 years, McCarthy or Jaden Daniels? I would probably say McCarthy, but for the next two or three, it might be Jaden Daniels because of the element of his legs and what they could be. So this all goes into it. I think Howie's got the right pulse on this. I think Howie's got the right thought on this. And I don't trust him to make this pick at 22 because it's been a kind of a blind spot area for him, talent-wise, you know, depth-wise, draft chart-wise. He's just struggled in this area picking players. But the idea of what he said yesterday and the philosophy of signing NFL-caliber free agents at each position of need just to fill something in, to have it checked off just in case the draft goes a different way and a different opportunity presents itself with a different really good player and not force yourself into a box of drafting a certain kind of player, I think that's really smart. I think it's part of why the Eagles usually have a high floor. Their line play on both sides gives them a high floor. And also this idea of we're not just taking players for now. We're not taking players for need. We're taking players that can be, when they are ready and the team is ready for them, be the best possible players to come out of the NFL draft around that spot. That's the way to do it. They did it with Josh Sweat. They did it with Avante Maddox. They did it with Dallas Goedert. That 2018 draft was a home run. Did it with Mailata. That should be the way, and that should be the blueprint for the Eagles to follow as they try to hit a home run here and get some good football players into a Philadelphia Eagles uniform. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. It's going to be a big night in Philadelphia. We'll react to Sixers Heat tomorrow on the pod. Have a great night. Go Phils, go Sixers. And I can't wait for the NFL draft. Thanks so much for listening to WIP Daily.